1 John chapter 1, verse 1. I believe that we as a people, and if you will, as churches, we struggle. And I think some of the struggle is good, and obviously some of the struggle is not. And I want to address one, if you will, area of that. And I want to tell you that you might not approach this the way I do, and I absolutely respect that. But I do want you to know that the biblical message of separation is absolutely present. And it's there, and it's important, and it is needful for you and I to practice it. There's going to be a heavy dose of separation from the world's ways, separation from the world's ideology and things of that nature in the Bible, but certainly in 1 John. But what it doesn't mean is what I fear that you and I, if we're not careful, get stuck on. And if we're not careful, as Americans and as Baptist folks, if we don't understand something, we're too prone to just chuck it. And I'm telling you, if you chuck separation, we're in trouble. We're in absolute trouble. And so I do not believe on any level that separation means that we can't have fun. And that we, thank you, and that we, a deacon even, and that we can't, we shouldn't worry about having to parse everything when we do something. And so Dawn and I find ourselves Friday evening at a Japanese steakhouse because I let my nephew decide where we're going to eat. And we go to the Japanese steakhouse, and to get the hibachi experience, you got to be willing to sit with other people. So we've got our six, Brian, Aaron, and Tori, and my three, in other words, so there's six of us, three Kingston fives and three Kingston sevens, okay? Explain that later if you need that. Tony, Dawn, and I, and then with five other people. So that makes close enough, they're good to do their hibachi thing with that. Well, we don't know these people. And so they all, you know, my six, except me, go away from them. So there's a seat left. And so, you know, A-plus personality, okay? Doesn't meet a stranger. Didn't used to be that way. This is who God made. So I sit down by him, and I look at him, and I go, guys from around here? Yeah. What are you doing here? And well, little guy over here's got a birthday. A birthday? And I'm looking at it because you got to understand, I'm the Brad in my family, okay? And so I'm looking at that guy, and, I, you know, birthday, man, happy birthday. And, of course, you know, we're all, And I say, well, how old is he? And he says, 12. And I look at the grandpa. Grandpa's closer to my age, okay? Look at the grandpa. Says, well, we're not going drinking tonight, are we? He looks at me. I got Bethel Baptist Church on my shirt. It's just a joke. And it's okay. Because if he comes and wants to join the church, we'll take him to the covenant. It's just a joke. All right, now watch this. But it lightened the mood. And we're having fun type thing. And we talked about me being a Baptist preacher and the such. Later, I realize that boy's got a birthday. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to places, we went to the, where do we go? What's it called? Horse Progress Day. Another thing that I let Brian make the decision. And it's a bunch of Amish people, okay? Now, you talk about separation. We've turned a corner, folks. And I'm not making fun of them. I'm not. I love it. I love it. That's okay. That's what they feel led to do. Amen, church? Amen. It's good stuff. We learned some things from them. But we're there, and it's this young man's birthday. I got a little extra cash in my wallet. Now, I can't speak for you, but when it's my birthday, I expect a gift. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to them. July the 13th, 2019 is an important date for these two. Saturday, it's important for Shannon's family, too. She expects a gift. You hear me? You hear me? All right. Now, so I pull out a 20, and I look at the young man, and I say, how old are you, sir? 12. What's your name? Noah. Noah, happy birthday. I hand him that 20. That grandpa looks at me like I just gave that kid $1 million. Mom and Dad looks at me like I just gave him $1 million. He looks at that like it's $1 million. And I told him, I said, son, don't spend it on anything they want. Spend it on junk. It's your birthday. And then the grandpa looks at me like, shut your mouth. And I said, what does he like to do? I said, because if it were me, I'd spend it on, fishing worms and fishing hooks. And oh, no, he's into video games. He's into video games. I said, well, that won't get him a video game, but it'll get him started, you know. The dad comes up to me when they left. Thank you. Now, listen, church, all I did was just be amicable, gregarious. I put myself out there. That's all I did. Watch this. Church, y'all know I have drawn a strong line on fill in the blank. I'm pro-life. That's weird in this world. Can I get a witness? That's weird. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-family. That means there's certain quote-unquote alternative lifestyles that I take a loving stand against. That's weird. So I'm absolutely separated from this world. But church, the Bible is very clear. I'm in this world. And I can be in this world but not of it. And I've got to at least, if God forbid, if something would have happened, that family would have known they could have come to me and us and had a safe place because I was nice to them. In church, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. We've got nice folks here. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. But we must be separate from the world, but we must participate in this world. And in my loving, humble opinion, that's what 1 John's trying to tell us. Let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Todd, you almost got tackled because you were just getting on my sermon all over, but it's good. Here we go. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Father, change us to look more like you. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. It's all about relationship. That's the title of this message. It's all about relationship. When you look at this passage, John is not talking about a creed. He's not talking about a list of rules. He's not talking about a religion. He's talking about a 24/7 real life relationship with a real person. The point number one of this message is simply the man and his offer of relationship. The man and his offer of relationship. The man, of course, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in our Lord. When you see Jesus, you've seen God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, the man, is offering to every man, woman, boy, and girl in this world a relationship. He's not offering you, again, a list of things to try to keep that if you do it well enough, he'll let you into heaven. He's offering you a life-changing relationship that if you accept it, you'll have heaven. And you'll have a life here on earth, watch this, worth living. You'll have a life here on earth worth living. Something very important is coming through. It'll just hang on. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Here it comes again. We have all left our phone on. It's okay. It's okay. Here we go. Church, listen. Listen to what John says. Which we have heard, We've seen with our eyes. We've looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. John is telling you that this isn't a relationship with an opinion. This isn't a relationship with an ideology. This isn't a relationship with a philosophy. This is a relationship with a person. And John is trying to tell us that what Jesus is offering you and I is just that, a relationship. John is saying, I was a first-hand participator of that relationship. I saw him. I heard him. I touched him. And yes, watch this. They lived close enough in quarters that they probably smelt each other too. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Ladies and gentlemen, every one of the senses of yours and my body are participatory in this relationship. The Bible says that God's relationship with us is as a sweet smelling savor. And so what I want to make sure that everybody under the sound of my voice understands, and this has been a sugar stick that I have preached from day one as a youth director, this life is not about you living a bunch of rules. This life is having a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Notice, he says, verse 2, for the life was manifested and we've seen it, bear witness and show you that eternal life. What is that eternal life? Jesus. Truth is a person, Gavin says. Jesus, eternal life is Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you've got eternal life. And John is saying, we saw him, we felt him, we heard him, we experienced that. Now, notice this. Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Jesus was, remember, this is the guy that said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and then he said it, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of God. When we saw Jesus, we knew that he was God's Son. Now hang with it, look at verse 3. That which we've seen and heard declare unto we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, first of all, with them. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he says it. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You see, John had something that you and I don't have. Hang with me, please. John, James, Peter, all those guys, the 11 disciples, the 11 faithful, and certainly Judas too, but Judas chose not to receive, in my humble opinion. I believe Judas is an eternal punishment. But the other 11, they chose eternal life. They saw Jesus. They held Jesus. They heard Jesus. And they walked with him. For 3.5 years, they had a true, real, physical relationship. You and I do not have that. But John's trying to tell you, we want you to have the same fellowship that we had with Jesus. We want you to have it too, through us. But watch this. You and I have something that John, Peter, and them did not have until Jesus' death and until Pentecost. Anybody know? The Holy Spirit. And church, listen to me. When you and I buy into this relationship and we start seeking God through his word, through prayer, through his church, we start seeking God, all of a sudden you and I start to realize, I can touch him. I can hear him. I can see him. No, you don't see Jesus, but you see Jesus's. Todd told you in the welcome. He's had people coming to carry his weight. That's Jesus. That's Jesus through us, church. You and I, casting crowns, we're his hands. We're his feet. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have still a physical relationship with God through the Spirit of God possessing every one of us. It's a relationship. And you and I should absolutely throw ourselves into that relationship. We should seek him. And then that verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Wow. Oh my goodness. Watch this. Couldn't have said it better. Happiness is based on how things are going. And church, if you try to be happy in this life, you're going to be on a constant Six Flags trip. And can I tell you, as much as I like Six Flags, I don't want to live that way. I got into, what was that thing called? The one that goes backwards. It throws you up. What is it called?
Mr. Freeze.
I went on Mr. Freeze, and I realized something very quickly. I'm 53 years old. I mean, oh my goodness. And I'm just begging God, I'll go to Brazil. I'll go anywhere. Just get it over, you know. Surrender to the mission field. Gave up chewing gum, all that. Just to spend a torturous minute with my children. Yeah. What we do in the name of love. That's sick love, but we do it. I'm glad you're laughing because that was what it was meant for. But church, that's what happiness can do to you. And please don't get me wrong. We all want to be happy. That's a good thing. And God wants us to be happy, but deeper than that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Years ago, I approached this as a youth director, and I was trying to help our kids because I noticed that our kids were just like me, and when the bank account was fat, we were good. When the bank account was low, we were bad. When the health was good, we were good. When the health was bad, we were bad. And again, that's a very bad place to live. Go ahead and turn it off, brother. And so, with that said, I started diving into this study on joy. Joy is a relationship that is not affected by outward circumstances. And that's pretty much what Todd said. It just simply is not. Because, watch this, joy is a relationship with Jesus that cannot be affected by outward circumstances. It doesn't matter what illness you got. If you've got Jesus, you've got ultimate healing. Sooner or later. It doesn't matter what quote-unquote dead-end job you got. You are an heir to the throne. You're going to live in a mansion someday. And we can just go right down the line. And if you got Jesus, church, you've got it all. And that's the joy, a relationship with Jesus. And John and Christ, the Holy Spirit, wants you and I to absolutely buy in to this relationship. Point number two. The man and his offer of relationship. Point number two, the message. Look at verses 5-8. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I can't speak for you, but once I discovered and bought into this relationship, I really wanted to figure out how not to mess it up. And this is the message of the relationship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying, I am holy. If you want to keep things going good with me, you've got to be holy too. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him but walk in the darkness, we know not the truth. In church, I've got that memorized because it's really important. Simply put, church, if you've got unconfessed sin, you are not walking in the light. In church, we are never going to see revival in the United States of America until my people, God says, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, pray, turn from their wicked ways. I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Church, that verse could go right here in 1 John. If you want to have that daily, vibrant relationship with Jesus, you've got to keep short accounts with God. Some of you may be sitting here right now and thinking, you know what, I know exactly what sin Brother Ben is talking about because the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on it. You need to repent of that today. Confess it. Leave it. Watch this. You may be sitting here and go, Brother Ben, I'm not really sure why, but I do feel like God is lovingly disciplining me, but I'm not sure why. Do you know what I have found, church? If you will ask God to tell you, he will tell you. When I was in college, I've shared this many times, I realized I started hearing good preaching, and I don't mean that towards me. I'm just saying, I started hearing good preaching, and I realized I've not had a confessatory time with God in years. I went to my room. I got on my knees and I said, God, I need you to help me. I need you to bring to mind every sin that I have not confessed that I need to confess so that you and I can have that relationship that you want us to have. I was there for 2 hours, church. I was there for 2 hours. When I got up, I had taken a shower in the blood of Christ. And church, it was right after that that I heard the preacher say, keep short accounts with God. If you can do it, and I know we can, you need to confess after the sin happens. Lord, forgive me for that thought. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. Help me. In church, he will work with you. He will come right into your world, and he will help you to take that next step of holiness. Brother Roger Brand shared with me, I'm not even going to name the particular struggle, if you will, but his friend had a struggle. And when he ran out of his struggle, he turned to the other friend. Can I have one of yours? And this guy said, sure. And then he looked at that and he realized, if I'm to the point, if this has such a hold on me that I have to beg for it, I'm done. And he let it go. In church, I believe that God will meet you right where you're at with whatever struggle that you and I are in, and he will help us take that next step of holiness. I believe that. That's the message. The message of the man is, you've got to be holy to have a relationship with me because I'm holy. And I want you to be holy too. And oh, you know, we've been trying to push this as parents. This is and I heard this from somebody else. The best parenting is not telling your kids to do something because I said so or because it makes me look good. The reason to do something is because it's going to be good for you. This is in your best interest. For one, it's going to get me off your back. And for two, it's going to reap benefits. I won't name the child, but his initials are Tony Kingston. Every time the kid studies, wonder of wonders, he makes an A. And all the other times, he doesn't. But he's connecting with that. It's coming around. And watch this. Me and mom do not get a check in the mail when that boy gets an A. It doesn't benefit us. But hopefully it'll mean that he'll get a check someday. Amen. It's for your benefit, church. When you and I start living holy, it's for our benefit. We start experiencing what God always intended for us in this life. This relationship is made possible and for the purpose of holiness. Point number three, the method to maintain the relationship. So the man and his offer of relationship through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never ever accepted Jesus Christ, he's offering to you a relationship with him. You confess your sins, you accept what he did on the cross for those sins, and you ask him to save your soul, and he will. He will. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the method to maintain the relationship. So the first thing you have to do is to confess. And folks, this is a daily thing. I can't speak for you, but oh my goodness, it's a daily thing to confess. Well, what does it mean to confess? You're saying the same thing about that sin that God says about it. Oh, I just made a mistake. No, you sinned. Well, I messed up. No, you sinned. Call it what God calls it. One of the most devastating verses for men is the verse where Jesus said, you've heard it say, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I'm telling you, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery. And so men, when you look at that woman to lust after her, don't go to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. No, you go to God and say, God, please forgive me for the sin of adultery. I can't speak for you, but saying it out loud to God brings a deeper level of understanding, a deeper level of betrayal, a deeper level of why Jesus had to die on the cross for yours and my sins. And then watch this. And you don't mope around for the rest of the day.
You accept his forgiveness and you move on in the glory and the relationship of Jesus Christ. It's for your benefit. He forgives you when you and I repent. That's turning around. We change our mind. Then we confess. This is what it is. Lord, please forgive me. He forgives us. Amen, church? He forgives us. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. Just as if you hadn't sinned. When God forgives you, he forgives you just as if you had not sinned. Brother Gavin, again, years and years ago, went through a tough spot. He carried 18 things that he learned during that tough spot. One of them was this. When you truly forgive someone, you restore them back to the same level of relationship that they had before the offense. I can't speak for you, but that's difficult for us to do with each other. Can I get a witness? That's difficult. Jesus does it every day, all day, when you and I repent. When we repent, he brings us back into full relationship, fellowship, just like that. Why? Because he died on the cross for every sin. We must confess. Say the same thing about your sin that God does. He will forgive you. And lastly, he will cleanse you. I wasn't there cognitively, but I was there physically at my first bath. I'm told that I was given a first bath when I was born. First of all, you got to understand that my family was in shock. I was 13 months after my brother. So much so that my mother had a hysterectomy. She got one look at me and said, "We can't afford to ever have this happen again." Thank you for laughing. And they gave me a bath. I've never needed that bath again. But with my family as witnesses, I've needed several showers and the such. And church, you and I are like that. If you have ever truly been saved, you do not need to get saved again. That was your once for all salvation bath. But because this world is so cursed, so full of sin, so conforming, we must take daily showers in that precious fountain that we sang about in first service. And church, I'm begging you, if you want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've got to be holy. Seek him. Seek him with your whole heart. Church, he will be found. And you will experience, you will have feelings because of this relationship with Jesus Christ. And I offer this to you, church, because for me, this is foundational. If you do not get this, let's talk. Because this is where revival happens. If this church, to a person, starts enjoying a vibrant love relationship with Jesus Christ, we'll change our world. We'll change our world. Let's stand, musicians. Will you come? If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. If you're here today and you just need to make this an old-fashioned altar and you need to deal with your relationship with God, whatever the case may be, please come and do so. Maybe you want to join this church. Please come talk to me. Maybe you need to be baptized. Whatever the case may be, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to move for God's sake.